And welcome to issue number 2 of the Rancor's Brothel. I am your co-host, Matt Enner, and with me today is my hetero life mate, Dustin. Say hello.
Hello.
And we have a special guest on your end there, Dustin. Who is that?
This is Mr. Drew Thomas. Say hi, Drew.
How y'all doing?
For the remainder of the conversation today, we will be referring to him as Drewski Booski.
Drewski Booski.
All right, so welcome to the show, Drewski. This is our second issue, if you will. We went live this week with a whopping 15 downloads. Mad props to those 15 people, one of which is me and one of which was Dustin. So the rest.
I'd like to say that I'm 1,500% satisfied, just for the record.
Yeah, you know, I told you on the first day it came out, we had 13 downloads, and I said, hey, we got 13 downloads. That's cool. And you're like, that's 130% more than zero.
Like, yeah, you know, I was way wrong.
Mathematically, that does not fucking work. So,
hey, I corrected myself, just for the record.
Not to me, you fucking didn't.
I just did on, like, live podcast.
Okay, 48 hours later. Good job.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a
I don't
movie
care about
48
you.
Hours later with, like, Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy? That's a duo I want to see in another movie.
Okay.
Nick Nolte has such a haggard voice, he just sounds like he's going to cough his, like, left arm through his throat. It's just so, have you seen Tropic Thunder? He's, I am Nick Nolte.
That's how he talks, huh?
That is how he talks. It's fucking insane. I'm fucking watching Tropic Thunder. I'm not lying here, guys. All right. Drewski Booski, Dustin, welcome. Let's recap our first issue in a segment that we like to call the Captain's Log. Dustin?
Okay, the Captain's Log is going to be a segment where we wrap up all the loose ends from the previous episode. Or
oh, you mean like where we recap the last episode, what I just fucking said. Okay.
The way I said it was better, just for the record. We're going to wrap up, we're going to recap, I suppose, our previous issue and answer some of the questions that were brought up. One of the questions that Mr. Matthew Etter had was, why is Assassin's Creed 3 called Assassin's Creed 3? Sorry.
Assassin's 3 I've Creed?
Had Assassin's Creed 3. I'm a few beers in.
Chug.
Yes. But anyhow, the Assassin's Creed 3 storyline, the way I understand it, after doing a little bit of research, was 1, 2, and 3 are all in different in time periods. Drew knows quite a bit about Assassin's Creed 3 as well.
I do.
I'm sorry, Drewski knows a lot about it.
Sorry, Drewski Brewski?
Yeah. All right.
Drewski Booski.
Yeah. So the way this works is the first Assassin's Creed is back during the Crusades in the Middle East. The second Assassin's Creed is in Renaissance Italy, and then they come out with Brotherhood, and then they come out with Revelations, and those two are follow-ups to Assassin's Creed 2. You're playing the same character, just kind of continuing his storyline.
They're not necessarily standalone.
So,
right. Mm-hmm. It's a continuation of a storyline, so yes,
in that time period.
While they are the third and fourth games, they're just kind of an add-on to the second. They're not really their own storyline.
Mm-hmm. Like how there was Final Fantasy X and then Final Fantasy X Part 2, which came out after Final Fantasy, like, 13.
Yeah, exactly.
And all those fucking Grand Theft Auto blah. There was Grand Theft Auto 3 and then, what, boom, Vice City and then, San Andreas, Liberty City Stories, and now we're having
four
come out. Yeah, okay, I get it.
Same premise.
Yeah. Same idea.
Mm-hmm. All right, any other things that I fucked up last week you want to talk about, Dustin?
Well, I should remind everybody that you are 2 points, and I'm at 1 point, so you're a point ahead of me. We're keeping track of those points.
What were those points again? So, I don't remember.
How do we explain that?
Oh, we're like, I'm the most awesome person in the world, so I just got a point. Add that on there. Okay, add that on there. Fucker.
So, 3-1. Three to one.
Good. Glad to know.
God damn it. I mean, gosh darn it.
It's okay. I put explicit on it on iTunes, so we can cuss.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There we go. Well, I sure will, dang it.
Golly gee willikers there, Dustin.
Gee gosh. I'm going to look up the definition for sci-fi, and we're going to think about Doctor Who as I read that definition.
Well, this just makes for compelling fucking radio. This is me Googling something.
I think you would have had that looked up before we started.
Yeah, I sure did. I thought you had notes, butthead.
I've got a couple.
Jesus. Talk amongst yourselves.
Rhode Island is neither a road nor an island. Discuss.
All right, science fiction is a genre of fiction dealing with the impact of imagined innovations in science or technology. So
if I went back in time to the time of Jesus and showed the movie The Patriot, that would be science fiction.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Like, they would look at The Patriot and be like, oh my God, what are those things they're wearing on their feet? Their shoes. Their shoes. Yeah.
See, to them, it is. Right.
Better than my tree bark sandals I've been wearing, proselytizing to the world. Because Jesus has an accent in my head.
Oh, does he? He has that accent? How did he get that accent?
Well, he hung out with Stewie. Stewie, that's my Stewie Griffin voice.
I should have remembered.
Any other captain's logs?
Stardate
supplemental.
We brought up carbonadium. You mentioned carbonadium
is
while you're
something
talking about
that can hurt Wolverine. It negates his healing factor.
Right. You said it wasn't. It was either carbonium or carbonadium, I believe.
Yeah.
It's definitely carbonadium, and I wrote all that down about what it is, but we won't talk about that.
Awesome. Omega Red, the Russian version of Wolverine, his tentacles were made of carbonadium because he was designed specifically to, you know, hurt adamantium and healing factors and what have you. All right, that ends Captain's Log. On to the next segment, Celebrity Nerd. That's our intro music. What do you think, guys?
I like that.
Thank you.
That's
thank
good.
You.
Very, very catchy.
Edit the fuck out of that in post, let me tell you.
Auto-tune, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Today's Celebrity Nerd, let's take bets. Dustin, who do you think it is?
Guy or girl? Question.
Girl. Ooh, let's 20 questions it.
One. Is she in that 70s show?
No. Oh, you're thinking of me.
Blonde or brunette? Okay. Yeah.
This is 20 questions.
Blonde or brunette?
It's yes or no questions only.
Is she blonde?
No.
You had to think about that?
Wow.
Well, okay, it's a film fucking actress. I'll give you that. And so her hair color changes throughout movies.
Okay.
But I don't know what her natural color really is, to be honest with you.
Right. In the movie she's best known for?
Brown hair.
Brown hair. Okay.
Is she bigger than a bread box?
Yes.
Okay.
That was question four, for the record, asshole.
Okay.
Wasted our question on that.
Yeah. That's a valid
how many extras do 20 you know questions smaller question? Than a bread box? I'm just curious.
There's a few. There's a few tiny fellas that might be able to fit into a bread box if it was a slightly larger than usual bread box.
What I'm not going to argue with you.
You have a bread box? I do not own a bread box.
I don't know. No, we don't have one.
Refrigerator.
So no one knows what the actual size of a bread box is, so we don't even know if maybe a human could fit in a bread box.
That is not a culturally relevant discussion topic anymore, bringing up the bread box.
No, it is not.
Wow.
Okay, so let's just – how about you just tell us who it is?
Oh, for fuck's sake, it's Natalie Portman.
I knew it!
You didn't know it. You said you were thinking of Mila Kunis.
No, I totally knew it.
Yeah, right. Natalie Portman, Super Jew, as I call her, because she was born in Israel, for the record. That's not me being racist or anything. Of course, she's been in – I mean, she shaved her head for a comic book movie, for starters, so V for Vendetta. She's, you know, Luke and Leia's mom, for Christ's sake. She fucking boned Darth Vader. She even did that fucking ridiculous Your Highness with Danny McBride.
Oh, I forgot about
great
that.
Great movie.
Fucking hilarious film.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, what cements her nerd status beyond being in cool sci-fi fantasy movies, she is published in American Psychology Today.
Yeah, she went to Harvard, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She went to Harvard and got a psych degree that apparently she's much better at than mine is from Indiana State University. I'm not been published anywhere besides, you know, on Monday mornings, that little list they put up of, you know, people that broke the law on the weekends. Like, I think it's in the newspaper. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, Natalie Portman's been published like 3 times in scholarly journals, so that's pretty fucking badass. Mm-hmm. Not to mention she's smoking hot, and I would probably kill either of you to have mm-hmm. a shot at fucking her.
I'd probably let you kill me for that.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
I mean, I would take your dead hand, cut it off, and feel her up with it, just for helping me out.
You're a good guy.
I hear she'd be into that. I hear she likes stump fucking.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. No celebrity nerd of the week. Celebrity nerd!
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, for those of you that didn't listen, that weren't the other 13 people that listened to issue 1 of The Rancor's Brothel, we're going to have a versus every week. Dustin, who is a comic book novice, is going mm-hmm. to come up with a versus-type scenario in which he is allowed to research, and then mm-hmm. I have to go off of the, you know, whatever's off the top of my head. So, and Drewski, feel free to chime in.
Absolutely.
So, Dustin, who is our versus this week?
Okay. We've got a bounty hunter versus a vigilante. Ladies and gentlemen, the Fett versus the Vet is going to be Punisher versus Boba Fett.
All right. That was right. Boba Fett. Man. Mm-hmm. I'm not supposed to know about these ahead of time, but Mike Cooksey fucking ruined it. And,
why did I tell Cooksey?
He told me at a basketball game. Mm-hmm. And I can only remember Punisher, and I was like, I don't think that would work. So, who mm-hmm. would win in a fight between the Punisher and Boba Fett?
Okay, there are a couple of different scenarios I would like to put them in. First of all, I'd like to do just hand-to-hand, strictly strength and hand-to-hand skills. No weapons, no armor.
Okay.
Who do you think would win?
Boba Fett.
Why?
Boba Fett is a Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
He is from the planet Mandalore, where Boba Fett is a badass fucking merc, and bounty hunter and assassin, if you want. And he is from a planet of badass bounty hunters, mercs, and assassins. He was such a badass merc and assassin and bounty hunter that they made him the president for life, the Mandalore, if you will, of Mandalore. He was the take an entire planet, billions of badass fucking soldiers, and he's the number one. He's who they all look up to, and he's the one that can kill the rest. Not to mention, he wears armor that it's called Beskar Gam, which cannot be cut by a lightsaber, so I couldn't imagine Frank Castle's little fucking bullets doing anything to it.
Well, the first scenario I had him set in was no armor, no weapons, just strictly strength and
fine, I still go Boba Fett, man.
You really?
The
okay,
Fett, the Fett fucking, for fun, would kill Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Punisher for fun would just, well, not for fun, but would kill the whole Marvel Universe.
Punisher couldn't kill the whole Marvel Universe, that's fucking
he
ridiculous.
He did.
No, he
didn't. He did kill the whole... No, he did. Look it up.
No, you're talking about
killed everyone. He put
Deadpool.
No. No. It's Punisher.
Deadpool versus the world is what you're referencing.
No, no, no.
Fucking noob.
No, it's Punisher. What Punisher did something... fuck.
Punisher, in one comic book, had his head dunked in a tank of urine. Pissface ain't going to kill Wolverine, let alone Boba Fett.
Okay, Punisher's got... I'm just trying... Punisher's got specialized training in 4 different branches of the military.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, and you know what? All the fighting styles that he knows are all from Earth. Fucking Boba Fett can study an entire fucking galaxy far, far away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not to mention they have Jedi. and Sith. He could learn from them. There's so much more that Fett has. There's so many more resources that Fett has at his disposal to learn from, to gain weaponry from. They have better... I mean, he could fucking Punisher could blow a hole in his chest, and he's just got to spend a night in a Bacta tank, and he grew it back. It's no big deal. Not to mention he's a clone, so there's spare parts lying around.
Okay. If I can chime in, I have to disagree with you. I think no armor, no weapons, Punisher takes it. For the strict purpose that Boba Fett, everything he does, he's using weapons, he's using his jetpack and whatever. And I just think that he...
Are you talking about 2 minutes in a goddamn movie? Because that was all the screen time he got.
No. I'm not talking about that.
Dolph Lundgren.
No. I'm talking the books, the comics, whatever. He always uses weapons. Always. So in a straight fist fight, I think Frank Castle would take him just because he's so used to using weapons that if he didn't have him with him, I think he'd be a little bit confused in what to do.
I think he's much more used to not wearing armor as well. He's got I would say, since Boba Fett wears armor all the time, he's got a much lower pain tolerance than Punisher would have.
No.
Between the two, oh yeah.
No. I'm sorry. In the Legacy of the Jedi series, Boba Fett has cancer like Deadpool, like where his entire body's rotting and full of tumors and shit. Hmm. And then, not to mention, it's a book, so you're reading and you're getting his internal monologue and how he deals with the pain. No, Punisher got nothing on Boba Fett's pain tolerance.
I think at the very least, they're at equal levels as far as pain tolerance.
Don't take the comic book answer on this. That's what Stan Lee said. Whenever you do a versus, you always had to make it a draw in the end because you didn't want to piss off the wrong fans.
Honestly, you know what? I was neutral on both of them. I wanted to pick the underdog, personally. I wanted to go against whoever you said first.
Is that what you had Mike Cooksey ask me?
No.
Was this a clever subterfuge?
Yes, absolutely it was. I'm smart enough to do that.
I need another drink. No. Hang on here. Let me pour this delicious bourbon in my glass.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm drinking
continue your blasphemy.
Big Flats premium beer, just for the record. $3.33 at Walgreens for a 6-pack.
And it tastes like it.
Oh yeah, I'm going to that's gonna be a regular thing for me on this show is drinking low end
alcohol.
Oh yeah, it's exciting.
One time we found a case for $5 of this stuff. Called American Life or American Ice, something like that. And we bought a case. We brought it back. We got it cool. Everybody cracked one, right? It was me, I think Jeremy, and another guy, Doug. Me and Jeremy tasted it. We're like, this is fucking disgusting. Fuck this. We left it, right? So Doug drinks the other 22. Doug not just got drunk, he fucking hallucinated. He fucking woke up blocks away from the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Said he was chasing a monkey or something.
I need to get a hold of some of that beer.
I know, right?
Like a good time.
Oh, I mean, I'd imagine at $5 for a case, it's probably got some like mold in it or something that reacts bad to our system. I don't know.
It's like Wildwood root beer.
I know. There you go. Yeah. You are just going to drink the nastiest cheap shit, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Did Boba Fett go to Vietnam?
He fought in the Intergalactic Civil War, you twat.
But that doesn't...
It's intergalactic. That's not one fucking tiny-ass communist country in Southeast Asia.
The mental stuff that Punisher came out of Vietnam with, that's quite a bit different than a full-on, like, galactic war.
Okay, let's say you're taking your little spaceship, right? You're going to the speed of fucking light, and you hit a piece of pea gravel... Mm-hmm. Just floating around in space, some little commentary fragment that just fell off an eon ago, and it's just sitting there, and you ping right into it. What do you think happens when you take that rock and you run into it at 186,000 miles per second?
Oh, it's going through you, and you're
going
to
straight through you. Think of that kind of stress level. Just, I want to go to the Quickie Mart and get a fucking slushy. Oh, I might, you know, get brained to death by a fucking random-ass rock. Think of that anxiety level. Fuck the VC. God.
Well, let's turn that around into Vietnam. You're walking through the jungle. You get stung by a little mosquito. You contract malaria and die a slow, painful death instead of a quick, explosive one from when the rock hits you. Personally, I'd rather have the rock come flying through me real fast and just end it than have to deal with disease for the rest of my life.
You know what?
Thanks, Drew.
Boba Fett's so badass, Darth Vader fucking hired him to do his shit.
Darth Vader hired a lot of people to do his shit, and Boba Fett just happened to get lucky and get to the right spot.
Get lucky? Brewski, Boosky. I'm about to question your manhood. Jesus Christ.
Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but when he hired the bounty hunters, you had a whole slew of them. And then all of a sudden, Boba Fett's the only one. Exactly. I mean, if you want to compare IG-88 to Boba Fett, let's do that. I'll do that all day, but...
I'm so glad Drew's here.
Yeah, it's all going over your head, isn't it, Dustin?
Absolutely. I need to do a lot more research.
Yeah, I mean, like, fuck, Boba Fett is he's the Jesus of fucking bounty hunters, man. There's nothing he can't do. If Boba Fett got a kill order on the Punisher, and he had to come to Earth and retrieve him from Jabba, Punisher's going down like a bitch. He'll cry more than his kid did when the Mafia shot her.
Absolutely. In a weapons fight, absolutely, hands down. But we were talking hand-to-hand, no armor, no weapons. In that scenario, I have to give it to the Punisher.
I'm trying to think of an example of where I've read the Fett just fighting. And, I mean, I have, but, like, he had to use high-tech, sophisticated equipment to get into the scenario where he could fist fight.
Exactly.
Like, to break into some high-tech fucking facility or whatever. Yeah. That's interesting. That's interesting. Viewers, what do you... Or viewers. Fucking, this is radio. What do you think? Message us. Email us. Get a hold on the Twitters at... What the fuck is it, Dustin?
At Rancor's Brothel.
Okay, at Rancor's Brothel, leave a comment on our iTunes page. Give us a 5-star review, please. But let's move on to the next segment, guys.
Oh, just for the record, to end this, Hunter did kill the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
So you can look that up.
I will, and when I read it and it sounds gay and horrible to me, I'm going to punch you in the throat.
Well?
I'm going to go Boba Fett on your fucking ass.
Yeah, we're going to have to continue this some other time.
Yeah, part two in Captain's Log next week.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let's get to the meat and potatoes here, guys. We want to have a topic every week where one of us knows a lot about it and the other one doesn't. And maybe we bring in a specialist, Drewski Booski, on said particular topic. And this week's topic is a show that was so awesome... It was on air for 11 episodes before it got canceled. So let's hear.
It sounds not awesome.
Well, I'm not. I'll tell you, I'm not excited. I'm not excited about Firefly. But I want Drew to change my mind.
Okay.
I want to hear those mass powers of persuasion, Drew. Talk to me about Firefly.
All right. So the deal with Firefly is it is a science fiction show.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those shows that. You know, Fox went on this kick of running a show for a season and then canceling it regardless of viewership or ratings or anything like that. You know, if it wasn't The Simpsons, they weren't going to show it.
Mm-hmm.
So Firefly kind of got jammed in the middle of this. And the biggest problem with it was when it was on the air, it was on in prime time. It was going up against a lot of other big time shows. I want to say ER was in the same time slot as it, just different things like that. And Fox really didn't promote it. At all. It was, oh, hey, Firefly is on at 7, you know. So it didn't have the backing from the network to become a successful show. However, in its own right, it is hands down one of the best television shows that I've ever seen. Okay, the characters in the show, in the very first episode, you know who these people are. Okay, you get a feel for them right off the bat, and it's a pretty fun mix. You've got the captain. You've got his first mate is a black woman named Zoe, who is just a raging badass, okay? Then you have the pilot is Wash. If you've ever seen the movie Dodgeball, it's Steve the Pirate. He's also a Knight's Tale. Okay, so he's their pilot, and he's kind of this, you know, goofy, he's the comedic relief of the show.
Okay.
Then you have a man named Jane, who is, you know, in every hero, kind of the same deal. He's kind of got that, I've got a girl's name complex, so I have to destroy everyone. He's that guy in the group, you know, he goes out there. And, you know, whenever they're in a fight or something like that, like there's a bar scene where the captain and the first mate get in a fight and they're like, well, where's Jane? And he comes busting out of the door, hitting two guys with a bar stool and punching another one that's standing behind him. You know, that's kind of his deal. Then they pick up, they've got a mechanic whose name is Kaylee, who's kind of like this little naive girl who's just having fun flying around in space. Mm-hmm. You've got they pick up in the first episode a preacher and then a doctor. Who is kind of shady. You know, they're trying to figure out what his deal is. And I don't want to spoil the show too much if no one's seen it.
It's a show that was canceled 10 years ago. I don't think you're going to spoil it.
Yeah, go ahead and spoil
okay,
it.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and spoil it.
So I mean, I do plan on checking it out on Netflix. You've already intrigued me enough. So, just saying.
All right, so the doctor shows up. He's got this big case with him. They find out they pick up a couple other passengers just to kind of make some money for themselves. And when they pick up a transmission from somewhere in their ship to
the you were going to say transvestite. Sorry. Keep going.
Fair enough.
Yeah. They picked up a transvestite.
Right. Transvestite, transmission, whatever you want to call it. So they go trying to figure out who's sending this transmission to the Alliance, which are your bad guys in the show.
And now, as I understand it, the Alliance is actually where China and America have combined, not only governmentally, but culturally?
Well, not quite. The whole show has a very Chinese or Asian influence to it. Like, when they swear, they're cursing in Cantonese, not English.
Okay.
Okay. No, the Alliance, the whole setup is that the Earth itself got used up. You know, the atmosphere was gone, pollution, you know, was just destroyed. So everyone got in spaceships and launched themselves into outer space.
They essentially created other Earths around.
Created new Earths, you know, terraforming, things like that, colonization.
Yep.
So the central planets, as they call them, form the Alliance, you know, kind of, I want to say, you know, you're going back to Star Wars, a galactic empire sort of thing.
They get all the backing and all the
funds. Yeah, they've got all the funding, all the backing. Their worlds are perfectly terraformed, no problems. And then you have the Outer Rim planets who rebelled against the Alliance when the Alliance tried to force everyone to become part of this.
They don't get shit.
And they lose.
So this is like Hoth and Endor and Tatooine.
Right.
The Outer Rim territories.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. So as the first episode, you find out the captain and the first mate fought in the war on the sides of the rebels. They were losing, so they're spending the rest of their lives kind of doing freelance smuggling work and things like that.
Okay, so they're Han Solo.
They're Han Solo.
I've got to liken this to something I understand so that I can grasp these concepts.
Right. Well, when they, you know, so back to the main story. They pick up the doctor and you know, these other people. They take off, and that transmission gets intercepted. They scramble it. They go down to the cargo hold. The doctor's down there outside of this big box, like hitting buttons and stuff. So they're thinking, okay, he's the one sending it. They open the box. It turns out it's his younger sister inside of it that has been cryogenically frozen after he broke her out of an Alliance facility.
You know what? I do remember some of this. I think I did watch this episode.
It's very possible that you've seen it and just kind of flipped over somewhere. It's kind of one of those shows, unless if you've sat down and watched it through, you don't really remember.
I was telling Matt that's exactly what happened. I was at your house for a party or a get-together or something. You guys were watching Firefly, and I saw it on in the background, but I didn't realize that it would have had the impact on me that it did.
Exactly. So the rest of the season is kind of centered around what they were doing to the girl, whose name is River. And, you know, why he had to break her out. And then, you know, there's a whole bunch of other things that go on. It's a very intricate storyline. And I think my favorite part of the whole show was near the near the end of the season, they knew that they weren't going to get renewed for another season. They knew that, their run was over. They got the 1 year, that was it. And so Joss Whedon, who has directed many awesome things, decided, you know what, screw the network. And he did not wrap up any storylines. He left them sitting open-ended. And I personally love that because it's kind of like, well, maybe, hopefully.
Exactly. Have you seen Serenity, the movie?
Yes.
Okay. They wrapped up a few things in Serenity.
When it was, I think, 3 or 4 years after the show was canceled, it was the entire original cast. They didn't have any replacements or anything like that in there. They brought back to make the movie Serenity, which in its own right is an awesome movie, even if you don't know any of the previous storyline. But it kind of wraps up. You have a few, like at the end of that season, there's these questions. You're like, why did this happen? Why did that happen? What's going to happen with this person? And this wraps up a lot of those storylines. So you at least get some sense of closure once you watch the movie. But it is a shame because I personally think it's a show. It could have had a run like Star Trek had. Next Generation run for 7 or 8 years.
And it's so interesting that, Joss Whedon, right now he's hitting him out of the park, but we've got from him, we've had what is now at least wildly successful, but at the time, Firefly was not successful or considered successful by the networks.
Exactly.
And then he also had Dollhouse on Fox for like a week and a half.
Yep.
And then, but that has a huge cult following as well. So it's interesting about the Whedonites out there, those guys that can't get Buffy the Vampire Slayer out of their heads. What's he producing right now? He's gearing up and making the S.H.I.E.L.D. television show for ABC.
Yep.
That's going to be pretty bitchin'.
He was on the Avengers.
Absolutely. And, I mean, he wrote some scenes and directed Avengers. He co-wrote Captain America. He directed one scene in Thor. He's got the Avengers 2 coming out. Or coming up. He's got some cred.
Absolutely.
So it's pretty cool when you think about it. What do you think made Firefly so popular after the series was ended? This has happened in history with a couple of shows before where they get more popular as time goes. Like Star Trek The Next Generation is as popular or more popular now than it was when it was on the air.
Mm-hmm. Same thing that with came the original out in like Star 87. Trek, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. God, yeah. There was that. There was only 150 million Americans back when that was on. Now we got 300 million, so it's guaranteed going to be bigger. Another thing to mention too. I'm sorry, with Firefly is it had 4.9 million viewers per episode, and they decided to cancel it. Fox would kill for 4.9 million viewers on a sci-fi or even a drama right now. The way cable's worked out, Sons of Anarchy is one of the most popular shows in America, and it gets like 3 million an episode. So,
I think Fox, that just shows you that their minds are on completely different things.
Yeah.
Whatever reason, they're thinking about other things than viewership.
No, circa 2002, when Firefly was on, you didn't have the basic cable channels making their own original programming to this extent that they are now.
Right.
So now instead of having the big three and then having Fox and whatever UPN, CW, whatever it is each week, now you've got to throw what? USA's got Burn Notice, TNT's got The Closer and fucking Cougar Town or some shit. You've got FX and FX has Sons of Anarchy and Archer and some really great shit. But then you got AMC with The Walking Dead and Mad Men and Breaking Bad, all sorts of shit. That's insane.
Yeah. What I think happened, I can't speak for the Fox executives that made the decision to shut the show down, okay? But what I think happened was they saw, we're getting, this many viewers per episode on this show, but I think what they were looking at was, do we think that we can turn this into a following like Star Trek has? And I think when you start comparing
Firefly conventions and shit.
Right. Mm-hmm. When you start looking at that with the merchandising rights and everything, and, Star Trek, they just did another movie. They're coming out with another one. You've got action figures, all these things, which, great movies. Love them. But when you look at Firefly's potential compared to what Star Trek did. Is it there? I don't think so. You know, off that first season, I don't think it could have gained that kind of momentum down the road. Now, it's very possible it would. You know, again, you know, with not knowing, with not having more than one season to go off of, you can't really make a sound judgment on anything. But I think that what they were looking at was, where's our merchandising on this? Because the other thing with Firefly, it was an incredibly low-budget show. You look at, because they don't have, they're not using lasers or phasers, you know, they don't have that high-tech, you know, the CGI or special effects to go off of.
Yeah, it's
they
very
had to
gritty.
Do everything in-house. Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of, when I look at a scene of Firefly, it puts me in a mindset of a Cowboy Bebop, and I told Dustin this before the show. Drew, did you ever watch Cowboy Bebop?
I've seen a few episodes, yeah.
Very, an industrial future. Not the big space battles. It's almost like a Western frontier type setting. And in Cowboy Bebop as well, Earth's a complete shithole. Everybody's left it to colonize other worlds. So I drew some similarities when Dustin was explaining Firefly to me before the show. So
nice. Speaking about the gritty nature of the show, they actually told their cameramen to not worry about things like lens flares and low quality on the colors and not necessarily having the actors in the center of the picture. They actually encouraged them to bring those things out to make the quality of the show a little different than others.
Shoot it a little more guerrilla style, maybe.
Yeah, and I think it turned out for the better.
When you look at Serenity, though, I mean, that's a beautiful visual movie. Yeah. Really clean and crisp lines. The lighting's astounding, without as many lens flares as I would expect in a sci-fi flick. J.J. Abrams, Star Trek. So yeah, it's a dichotomy, but it's an interesting one.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the movie. They had gotten, by the time the movie came out, they had this cult following. They had people buying the DVDs. They had people pushing to get it out there. So there was some backing. There was some momentum behind it. So they put money into the movie. You know, and that's where you get those cleaner sight lines, the coloring, the lighting, everything like that, is because you had the budget to do it. When the TV show, you know, they're working off of what Joss Whedon had in his wallet, you know.
Yeah.
So just kind of, and what's laying around from
old
TV.
He did
TV
have
shows.
Buffy money there. I mean, let's not split hairs here, guys.
Yeah, he's not exactly poor by any means.
I would take, you know, I would take Joss Whedon's wallet on a bad day any day of the week. I would take a shitty Buffy angel money anytime you want. Fuck, I mean, for Christ's sake, they can't all be winners. He wrote Waterworld, for Christ's sake.
It's true. Yeah.
So.
That was depressing.
Think of that one. That had the line, "It looks like shit, and it feels like cold shit." That's good writing, not.
So, do either of you guys watch Castle? Or have you seen Castle?
No, Nathan, I don't watch it. Although, I've seen Nathan Fillion on an episode of Lost once.
Okay.
That was my exposure, and I knew where you were going with it. Yeah, Nathan Fillion's found success afterwards. Castle's a good show.
Well, in Castle, he actually makes lots of references to Firefly.
Yeah.
There's a moment where he's putting on a Halloween costume, and it's his captain's uniform with the suspenders and the red shirt and everything. Mm-hmm. And his daughter asks him, you know, what do you go and ask for Halloween? And he says, "I'm a space cowboy." Yep. You know. Actually, if you look on YouTube, you can find Firefly references in Castle.
Okay. Check that out. That sounds cool.
A whole bunch of clips together. It's interesting.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't that fun?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
So we got anything else to talk about here when it comes to Firefly? Mm-hmm. On the fly.
I think we hit all the big points. I'm glad Drew was around.
Yeah, hit the major ones.
Yeah, this would have been a very boring show without Drew. Thank you, Dustin, for bringing him in. Yeah. Drew, I give you the Uber Nerd Award of the Week.
Sweet. Da-da-da.
So
I win prize money for that?
Fuck. It costs money to make podcasts.
You win another big flat premium. That's great.
Fantastic.
All
right.
Yeah, so I think that's probably going to about do it for this issue of the Rancor's Brothel.
Mm-hmm.
Any closing thoughts there, Drewski Booski?
No, had a great time on the show. This is the first podcast I've ever done, so I enjoyed it.
infectious. Like four of them now, so.
Pop my cherry, so hopefully down the road you'll have something else that I know something about and I can come back.
Yeah, actually, yeah, keep him on speed dial there for me, Dustin. He turned a good plot action for me there on Firefly, so that worked out nicely. Thank you.
Good.
From the captain's chair here, because I record it, so fuck you, I'm the captain. I've got nothing else to say besides Boba Fett would kill the Punisher.
No, I don't.
Literally would kill him. Boba Fett's dick could stab the Punisher right through his sternum. That's all I'm saying. It's a clone dick.
Punisher would break the dick before the dick got even near him.
You can't break a dick, there's no bone.
Oh, you can break a dick.
You can break a man's spirits, but you can't break his dick.
Okay, I'll take that. One for you. So 4-1.
Dustin, what do you got for me?
You can follow us. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr. What else?
Pinterest, Twitter, which Tumblr, is gay.
Pinterest. Not gay.
Okay, it's effeminate. It's effeminate.
Pinterest, Tumblr, and Twitter under Rancor's Brothel. So look us up, follow us.
We probably have to make a Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll probably have to do that sometime.
Stitcher was asking me if we have a Facebook page, and I was like, I don't think so. I actually typed that in the box, because that's why they haven't approved it yet.
No, I'll make one before the next episode. How about that?
Oh, well, I mean, don't hurt yourself, but if you got time.
It's excruciating work, but I think I can do it.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess I'm Matt Etter. See ya.
So, Matt.
Yeah? Well, you want an answer? Yeah. Sorry.
Why do Slytherins cross the road twice?
Why?
Because they're a double crossers.
Oh, man.
What's wrong with you?
That's good stuff.
Jesus Christ. Why don't you just anal rape another wonderful children's literature series, you butt fuck?